Good morning. Woo, you guys are awake and ready to go. So good to see you. If you're a guest, thanks for joining us. And hello to everybody watching online. We've decided I'm going to start giving some shout outs to the people watching around the United States, around the world. We have my son-in-law, Chad, his family is the Barnhills. And his dad, Terry, told me a couple weeks ago that Aunt Debbie and Uncle Mick watch us faithfully. So in this service, hello, Aunt Debbie and Uncle Mick. Thanks for tuning in and being a part of this. And thanks to all of you for being a part of this. We're getting ready to go on the most exciting run as a ministry for 50 days. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. I just want to encourage you like never before to really try and shift your perspective, to not just look at church as something we get together and do on the weekends, but really what it means to be the church as a whole, to really know that what we do on the weekends, though there's a lot of great stuff, the corporate worship, the time of learning and growing, it's about leaving these doors and really living the purposes of God. And it's about finding your niche and your abilities and gifts in the ministry. And I'm going to talk about that because we're going to go from spectator to participant and really what that means in Scripture. We've got some exciting stuff coming up during the 50 Days of Good News. Obviously, we're focusing, one of the byproducts of focusing on the good news is that we're going to be able to share our faith and really be able to reach out to the community. And one of the ways we do that is Fall Fest, October 29th. Great outreach. Bring your kids over. This place will be transformed into a place they can go trick-or-treat, have a good time, and check the bulletin for all the details. But I love it, man. Last year, it was during COVID, and we weren't sure what to expect, and I was running a little bit late. My wife and I got here to see the grandkids, and as we pulled in the parking lot, I was saying to her, boy, I hope people show up. And when I pulled in the parking lot, there was not an empty space. I mean, it was jammed. We had over 800 people bring their kids through. And then I looked at my wife and said, I'm going to jail. That's what I was going to happen. But I did, so I'm happy. Also, remember our restaurants of the week. We're doing something a little bit different this week. We're going to go back to, you have a choice of four of them. Or if you got the budget and you can do it, hit all four of them this week. Los Arcos, right up here at 80th. We've talked to the restaurants, found out which ones are still in need of employees and in need of some other stuff. So Los Arcos, Three Brothers Italian Restaurant over on 64th in Indiana. On the other side is Abo's Pizza. That's another one. And Great Harvest Bread Company. So hit those places. Let's keep helping them out. And you are making a difference in this community. You are making a difference in a lot of lives. You know, moving from spectator to participant is something that we have to set our minds to do this. I mean, really to make it happen. But in order for it to happen, you've also got to lay some things aside and prioritize well. For the next 50 days, I'm asking you to do a couple of things. Just take a few steps, okay? One of those is be here on the weekend. Be here in the gathering on the weekend. If you can't, we have great social media platforms, and I know there's many that watch from around the world. They're not going to drive in every weekend, okay? But for those who can be here, be here. The COVID nightmare has become the COVID excuse to just not engage. And I want to encourage you, don't let that happen, okay? Be involved for these 7 weeks. You can do this for 50 days. And if you look in the Bible, you're going to find that God used 40 days to prepare people. Go back to Moses and 40 days on Mount Sinai. You look at Jesus, who really showed and demonstrated how to follow God's plan when he was being tempted in the wilderness. You look at many of these examples. Nineveh, in 40 days, an entire city of 130,000, 125,000 people became believers in God. The whole city was transformed. And then the number 50 days, has probably the most direct connection to what we're doing. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, he would walk and talk and teach with all of his apostles, and 515 people saw him after his resurrection. He ascended into heaven, and exactly 50 days from the resurrection was Pentecost, and 120 believers were in an upper room praying, and God sent the Holy Spirit, which every Christian receives now. At the moment you put your trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. God in the Spirit. And he fell on that group, and 120 people turned the world upside down. We have a lot more than 120 people. And think of what happens if we get on the same page and really get focused on the same purposes of God and God's plan for us, frankly. And you're going to discover really what that means and how that's going to work. I was thinking about also daily. Just jump on the devotions. You can go to the webpage. The Grace mobile app's free. We'll have the devotion Monday through Friday, so just a 2 to 5 minute sharing time. And you're going to hear from our staff, much of our staff. And you'll do that Monday through Friday, okay? And then go to small group. You're like, oh, I don't have a small group. Yes, we're going to make sure you have a small group, okay? We had a great group launch last Monday. Many new groups were started. 150 people were placed into small groups last week. We have groups ready for you. All you got to do is literally say, I want to be in small groups. Get a hold of Beth Doig, fill out the connection card, get on the website. We'll get you connected. If you're not in a small group, you're not here, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And listen, God gives us an average of 29,000 days on this earth if we live the average life expectancy. 50 days is what he's asking from you. I'm asking you to give 50 days to see how God will transform your life, your families, your marriages, your single life, your finances. It will all be impacted as we really focus for 50 days on the good news. Today I want to talk about pivoting from spectator to participant. Now, I'm a person that growing up and really for most of my life, I love to compete. I love to be in the game. And even at my age and my dilapidated body that's been beat up, and I still have a hard time standing on the sidelines. I was watching my grandson, Jace, play soccer and my granddaughter, Kinsley, yesterday. We have to bounce between our grandkids. So yesterday was Kinsley and Jace. And Jace is a really good soccer player. He scored 6 goals in the first half. And then he scored 3 goals in the first 3 minutes. I said, I think I've seen a lot. I can go to church now and work. But it was funny because I saw his mom and dad telling him to pass the ball. And it's not that he's a ball hog. It's just when you're out in front of everybody, you don't turn around and kick the ball backwards, right? And to be honest, it makes me antsy. I used to play soccer and football and basketball. And I want to go play. And I think I can take those 7-year-olds. Really, I think I can. But I want to get off the bench and into the game. And for many, many Christians, they're just perfectly satisfied sitting on the sidelines and watching other people be used by God. I don't believe that about you. I don't believe that about our ministry. I believe you want to see God work in and through you, and this is how we're going to do it. And I want to show you something before we look at the text that we're going to really dissect today. God calls you a couple of names, really good names, titles, if you will. And they're not really statements or titles that you've ever probably thought of unless you've looked at this in Scripture. And when God says you are this person, you are this individual, he means it. First, God says this, and I'm going to encourage you during this whole series, write stuff down. I know some of you are like, no, I'm just not going to do it because he tells me to do it. Okay, stop your stubbornness. Get the notes out and follow along. Here's why. I was talking to a friend not long ago. This was hilarious. And I said, yeah, you never write anything down. You never take the outlines out. You don't even glance at them. He's like, well, you know, I kind of struggle. I have some learning disabilities. I don't, you know, I just don't really write stuff down. And I'm like, really? Oh, man, that's got to be tough. I go, you never write anything down? He goes, well, you know, if it's important, I write. He goes, yeah, I just said that, didn't I? I go, yes, you did. So he writes it down now. But take those notes out and follow along. First of all, the Bible says this. You are God's holy priest. You are God's holy priest. Some of you are like, whoa, nope, didn't sign up for that. Because your image of a priest is very different than God's image, okay? I'm not talking about a pastor or the Pope or a priest. I'm talking about who you have been created to be, Christian, and what office God says you hold. In the ancient times, in the Old Testament, in order for a Jew to have their faith demonstrated, they would send a Levitical priest, a priest from the tribe of Levi. First, it was Aaron, the brother of Moses, and his two sons. God traveled with them in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, that was divided by a big curtain, especially in the more modern temple when Jesus was born into the world 2,000 years ago. And what happened is the Levitical priest would have to consecrate themselves. They would have to get their body, their soul, and their spirit in good shape before they went into the Holy of Holies. And then they would sacrifice an unblemished lamb, listen, for every single one of the Israelites. 2.5 million. And if that priest was not confessed up, if he wasn't pure as he could be, not perfect, pure as he could be, he would walk into the Holy of Holies and he would die. And so when he went into the Holy of Holies, he had to have a rope tied around his waist. How confident would that make you? Guys like, we got your back. We got your back, buddy. Go on in there. Because if he died, they couldn't go get him. They had to drag him out. Literally. And when Jesus died, we're going to see something that happened. But he says, you are his holy priest. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Circle that. And underline, you are. This is written to you, Christian. You are God's holy temple, holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. We don't sacrifice unblemished lambs because we're not looking forward to Jesus coming to the world and dying for our sins. We're looking back because he already did. The Old Testament saint was saved by faith, believing the Messiah would come. We are saved by faith because the Messiah did come. We look back, they look forward. Nobody was saved by works. Don't ever listen to that. That's heresy. Okay? You are a holy priest. You have direct access to God. You know what else you are? You're a living sacrifice. And the old joke still remains true. The problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. Okay? In those days, they would bind the ram or the lamb, and he could not move. But God says, you are my children. I've saved you. You're on your way to heaven. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you believe that he died and rose again, paid for all your sins, you are God's child. We'll look at that in a moment. And you are to be a living sacrifice, just like I am to be a living sacrifice. Look at Romans 12. He explains it. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Circle living, circle holy. That word holy doesn't mean, oh, I am so holy. My eyes have not seen sin. Okay, stop it. Holy means set apart for God's purpose, okay? And he says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So if I'm not a living sacrifice, if my life when I walk through these doors going the other direction isn't about being a living sacrifice, then I am not worshiping God. You're like, but I just sang those really great songs. Musical worship is one small part of your life of worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Repentance, changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I can't tell you the number of Christians that have been in this ministry. I won't even go into Christians around the world, but how many Christians who have been here for years and years, and they'll say, Pastor, I just don't know God's will for my life. And I'm like, I quit. I give up. You know why they don't hear it? Because it's more than hearing. It's being a doer of the word. He says you are a living sacrifice. My question is, are you? And finally, I am God's welcomed child. Now, I realize for many of us, we see being a welcomed child, and maybe you say, well, I didn't have a good experience at home. I didn't have great parents. I didn't have parents that were there. I was abandoned by one or both of my parents. Let me tell you something. God loves you so much, He created you knowing you would sin, and he still died for you and offers everlasting life if you just believe, and he will give you an abundant life moving forward. That's what we're going to discover over the next 50 days, is how you can have an abundant, fulfilling life. Yes, God put me in your life to really be, in some ways, a life coach. But the only difference is, I'm not giving you the power of positive thinking through chicken soup for the soul. I'm giving you the Word of God that truly transforms life. Now, what happened in the Old Testament was that when that priest went in, he did the sacrifices. It was a bloody mess. That blood was a foreshadowing of Jesus. When Jesus died, something significant happens, and sometimes it's overlooked in this powerful story. Look in Luke 23:45, and suddenly in the temple, the thick veil hanging in the holy place was ripped in two. Do you know the significance of that? The significance is there's no need for a priest. You can go straight to God. You, Christian, if you know Jesus is your Savior, your mediator is Jesus. I have access to God. And he says this, you are my welcomed child, period. Now, that's a beautiful statement and it's true. But you know how often Christians miss this because they still see God the way they saw that absent parent or that abusive parent or that neglectful parent. Listen, you have a God who loves you and gave everything for you. He will never abandon you. He will never abuse you. He will never leave you. He says, you're my living sacrifice. You're a holy priest and you are a welcome child. What does that mean for our lives? Everything. But what God is asking from us Christians, and if you're not a Christian, the only thing that really matters today is that you become a believer in Jesus Christ. From there, all the hope of the world literally fades and the hope of God becomes your focus. Now, as we talk about this, moving from spectator to participant, I'm going to say something that oftentimes is shocking to people. You know, as a pastor, as your pastor, and as the person in charge of our staff, my job is to pour into the staff and their families. Do you know that our staff and their families is about 260 people? It's five times the size of the average church in America. So if we were all dependent upon me pouring into every individual before they could grow spiritually, we'd have 30 people in the church. That's not how it works. It's about pouring into ministers so they can pour into ministers. Guess what? Myself and the staff, we are the administrators. Guess who the ministers are? You. Look at Ephesians 4. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. If you're a believer, you trusted Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to, circle two words, nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. Oh, you're going to have to circle that whole phrase. Nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will do what? They will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Oh, yeah. God doesn't care about numbers, Pastor. Yes, he does. If your ministry isn't growing, it doesn't matter how big or how small. If it's not growing by new believers, it's dead. He says, enlarge and build. These grace ministries, I love that, will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man. That's not sinless, that's mature. Into a mature man or woman with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity, fully abundant, fully developed into the abundance of Christ. And then our immaturity will end and we will not be easily shaken by trouble nor led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach their clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in the love, our love, as we express the truth. All our direction in ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his body, the church. For this body, his body, has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member, that's you and me, Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. Now listen, this is a powerful reality. And when you understand it, when you embrace it, you now know that you have the ability to do God's work here and beyond. You ever really wrapped your mind around what God has done, not only in sending Jesus to die for your sins and my sins, but to give us an abundant life? It's kind of like this. About 30 years ago, my good friend Bill Maffeo, a member at Rolling Hills Country Club, and he said, hey, I want to take you there to play golf sometime. It took us about 2 years to actually get our schedules together. And I went out to Rolling Hills, and I'll never forget that day. It was the first time I'd ever been there. Pulled up in front. A young kid meets me in a golf cart. Oh, Mr. Long, Bill had seen me coming. Gets my golf clubs, takes me down to the front. Anything you want, just go up into the restaurant. They'll get it. I'm like, how much does it cost? No, it's all free. It's all on Mr. Maffeo. Oh, great. I'll have two steaks. No, I didn't do that. But anyways, I went through the whole day, had a great time, finished, and it just felt good. I was like, wow, I'm a member. I'm not. But I had all the advantages of a member because somebody else paid the price. You see, Jesus paid the price, and you have all the benefits of being a member of the body of Christ. But you know why most Christians never get that? Because they're casually dating the bride of Christ. They never settle down. Well, I'm not really a member. How long have you been at Grace? Oh, about 5 years. You're a member. That's just an easy way to say, well, I don't need to give financially and I don't really need to do anything. I just sit and watch shows and then I go watch another show and then I watch a podcast. You already know far more than you're doing. I would back it up a little bit. Because true depth, did you hear it in the message, in the verse, is doing what you know, not knowing more. So how do we pivot from spectator to participant? This is my hope and prayer during this entire series, that you will move from spectator to participant, because that's when you see God work miracles in your life and your family, in your community. First, to do this, you got to participate with your gifts and abilities. You got to put those gifts and abilities in front of God. We have so many serving opportunities, and we're going to talk about that week three. And you're going to have an opportunity to be involved serving, but I want to give a quick shout out. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that my wife was pastor over Reach and all the outreach that had opened up, and there were about 150 serving opportunities. And remember Whiz Kids? I said we needed people to tutor Whiz Kids. We have more people than they have kids now. So now we've opened it up to our community next door that's struggling financially, and some of the people in our community and our church that their kids need help. And now we're feeding those kids on the weekends. Remember, they don't have meals on the weekends. You guys are amazing. That's what can happen when the church just says, we're going to be the church. Now look at Ephesians 4:7 again. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what my gift is. Have you gone to our 301 class? If you haven't, then you don't know how to really find and discover your spiritual gift. We're going to make it so simple that during this series, I'm going to give you a little overview of that so you can just dive in. Why is that important? Because until you're living your God-given purpose and using your gifts and abilities for the kingdom of God, you will never be satisfied, Christian. Never be satisfied. Literally, in your life, you could have all the money, all the time, all the friends, and you'll never be fulfilled until you are on this planet doing what God puts you here to do. Look at Romans 12. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. The Bible says that the church is a church, that's a gathering of people, a garden. These are analogies of the church, okay? A family, a body. And which one did I forget? Let's see, garden, family, body, gathering, and there's one more, and I'm blanking on it. Father, whatever. So there's one more. It's really important. So here's what happens. Oh, we're a bride, okay? And so you can't be a bride without a groom, right? You can't be any of these things without others. Can't be a healthy garden without other plants growing. You're not going to grow a tomato stalk in the middle of sand and cacti and weeds. All right? You need that fertile soil. You need other roots. And God says, you are part of the body of Christ, but it's not healthy without you. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. Pay attention to this. Not the other way around. You don't get your, the church doesn't get its meaning from you telling us what we should be doing. You get your meaning by being part of the whole and doing your part. Look at this. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each one of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. This is why so many Christians never serve. Most of the time it's because they look and go, well, I want your gift. Or I do this, but it's not as important as your gift. And they're comparing with, do not compare yourself. Your gift is every bit as vital as my gift. And the Bible says, in most of the uses, more important. When somebody is in the Sunday school and they are pouring their life into those children, and you never see those 230 volunteers other than to drop your kids off, they are pouring into your children. When somebody comes up here and a marriage is saved, or somebody is healed, or they're saved, the biggest miracle, it is because of the work those people are doing. I just get to be the one that closes the deal. And your gift is critical. I know we have people serving all week in this ministry in so many capacities, most of which I don't ever see. I know the lady that comes over, Raina, and she cleans the bathrooms and helps Rita and has been volunteering and doing this for a long, long time. Raina, if you're in here, I don't see you, but Raina is just one of those faithful servants that never needs anything. And every now and then I see her and I just say, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And I always try and tell her a quick story about somebody's life that's been changed. You know why? Because she's responsible for people staying and hearing the message. You know, it doesn't matter how well we do what we do on this stage. If the person at the front of the parking lot is a jerk, they're not staying. We have a perfect parking lot to just drive through. Believe me, everybody does. Okay? But on the weekends, they should not. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, and this is a command. Use them well to serve one another. You'll never be fulfilled till you're using your gifts to serve the body of Christ he has placed you in and the community at large. Second, if you want to know how to pivot from spectator to participant, find a good example. Imitate a pastor or a staff member who loves God and serves people. I'm going to explain this. Yes, the Bible says this, but we all have a really bad taste in our mouth because we've seen the abuses of pastors. We've seen the abuses of Christians with power. What I would say to that is everybody's fallible. Everybody is one stupid decision from immaturity, me included. You never arrive at mature. Oh, I'm mature now. Hey, I'm mature. I just want to tell everybody I'm mature. Just you doing that means you're not mature. Okay? We are all one stupid decision from immaturity. Ephesians 4:11 says, some with grace to be pastors and teachers, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do them, they'll enlarge and build up the body of Christ. When you hear the word nurture, what person comes to mind? Mom. I heard it. You know what? I think of my mom, my mother-in-law, my wife, my daughter Brittany, my daughter-in-law Kim, soon to be my daughter, Brooklyn, having her baby. Let me just say this. There is something about a mother who nurtures her children that is the most perfect picture of God. And you know what a mom does? She does it all with no thanks most of the time. She does it all for those kids. A good mom does that. And she never gets patted on the back. You know, many times we get into our 40s and 50s and go, you know, mom, thank you. It's like, oh, yeah, it was worth it, you know? But guys, nurturing and preparing is the job of the staff. We're here to nurture and prepare you to do the work. Hebrews 6:12 tells us when it comes to imitating somebody, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Follow their example. Circle that. Now, people often say this to me, man, I wouldn't want your position for anything in the world. I wouldn't want all these eyes on me every day of my life. Oh, it is a sobering reality. There is nowhere that I go that I don't run into somebody I know. There are times I'm driving and I'm like, this person is the worst driver. And I go around, oh, hey, see you Sunday. It's inescapable, okay? And it is a fish tank, and I've been there 36 years. But let me just say this. There are people watching you. You are somebody's example. I bet every single one of you, even if you just became a Christian or you become a Christian today, can probably point out someone in your family, someone in your neighborhood, somebody that loved Jesus and was a good person, and they influenced you. God says, this is what I want from you. I want you to find those examples. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you because you remember me in everything. You follow closely the teachings that I gave you. Paul is saying, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Now, third, we got to value the unity of the church. We got to value it and protect it. I'm sad when I see the devastation caused in ministries by members. And I have to tell you that it is the most disheartening thing you will face as a pastor and as a staff. To love people, to care for them, to let them behind the curtain, if you will, to see that you're human, and then to be stabbed in the back because they just didn't like something. Look at this. They will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He's saying, listen, we got to be one heart, one faith, one vision. And this is why I love spiritual journeys, because we all get on the same page. And if you know anything about sports or anything about teamwork, if everybody's on the same page, they don't have to be the most talented. They don't have to be the most gifted. They don't have to have all the, you know, top players. They just work together and they shock the world. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to make a difference in the world. You know, have you ever thought that maybe COVID was God's way of sending all of us to our rooms because we needed a timeout? And we came out of it, and too often, I'm guilty too, we complain about it, we don't like certain things about it, we all have our opinions, we've never been polarized the way we are right now politically. And I'm going to tell you, I know what's happening in the world. Governmentally, I stay on top of it. I'm active politically, not here. This is a place for the gospel. This is a place for purposes of God. And this is a place where we should all come together. There should be no prejudice, no racism, no division because of what party you voted for. And he says, I want you guys to value unity above everything. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let me just pause there a minute. You know what harmony is? If you're a singer, you know what harmony is. My wife has an unbelievable harmony ear and voice. She came about it naturally. Her dad was a gifted musician. He died when she was 4 and a half. Her stepdad was a gifted musician. And I mean, she sings harmony. We've sung together since we were in seventh grade. And her harmony ear and voice, just absolutely amazing. She's so good at harmony that when she's singing with me or somebody, people are like, wow, I don't really hear her. Oh no, you do. You just heard this perfect melodic movement, a third above or a third below or a fifth above. That's what harmony is about, that I can help make you better and I can be in the shadows at times and you can help me get better. That's harmony. Look at this. Let there be no divisions in the church, Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. If that alone defined the church in America, we could overcome any attack of the enemy. Do you know what would happen if our church, and believe me, I think it's the greatest church in the whole world, I do, but can you imagine if every one of us loved this way? If every one of us sacrificed this way? Our mission statement, hope for everyone and a home for anyone, that mission statement would actually be lived out in a way we could only dream about. People would be beating down the doors because they'd see the love of every Christian. They'd say, man, your church is so generous. Everybody gives financially so that you can keep ministering in the community. Wow, your church loves everybody. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from. Look at Philippians 2. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more importantly than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. We'll talk about that next week. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest, and consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Value that unity, protect it. Fourth, offer your service in the church to Jesus and Jesus alone. What's our secret to having so many volunteers who have served for over 20 years? Because they don't do it for me, and they don't do it for the staff. Oh, they appreciate the encouragement. They love us, and we love them. They do it for Jesus. They do it for the kingdom. They do it for you. And when you serve that way, you never are disappointed. You serve for people, you serve people, you will always be disappointed. You serve God, you will never be disappointed. Look at this in Ephesians 4. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from who, guys? Christ. And lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his body, the church. I have a real big pet peeve. It drives me nuts when I hear people say, well, I like to go deeper. I'm like, yeah, what's that mean? You want me to tell you what the Greek words? I can do that. You want me to tell you the meaning of propitiation or substitutionary redemption? I can do that. And what's it going to do for you? Nothing. Just make you feel smarter. And then you'll go, wow, you know, he's a lot smarter than he looks. And what have I accomplished? Absolutely nothing. I'm not here to build disciples of me. I'm here to build disciples of Jesus. And we understand when you work hard to make it easy to understand, then people can actually live it. Galatians 1:10, I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down my message to be popular with men, but my supreme passion, circle that and underline, is to please God. For if all I attempt to do is please people, I would fail to be a true servant of Christ. Guys, did you know your job is your act of worship? You're like, you don't know, my boss is the devil. It doesn't matter if you do it for God's glory. My youngest son, Jared, and I were talking about this last week. I shared it with you. I'd sent this in a text to him just to encourage him. Look at Colossians 3:23. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you're doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. And we just encouraged each other. Do this. Your job as a waiter, a server, is for God. Your job as an electrician, for God. Stay-at-home parent, for God. God says, here's what I want from my children. Do your service for me, not for anybody else. You know, I've had some of those times in the last year and a half that it can get me down. And I try not to let that happen. I'm sure you've been there. You've probably felt it many times where where the unity is, you know, split or there's a problem. But the biggest mistake of most Christians that causes problems in churches, and it kind of cracks me up, because, you know, people get upset and they leave this church over here and they come here. They're like, yeah, you know, that church. And I'm like, you know, we do talk as pastors, just so you know. We're all on the same team if we're preaching the gospel. The goal is to raise up believers who are actively serving God's purposes. And when you get to that place where you think knowledge is the end all, then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, you're arrogant. It's not. It's to be doers of the word. Let me give you this last one. We're going to pivot from spectator to participant, and you will transform this church when you contribute your spiritual gift and ability. You will transform this church. You are a transformer. Look at Ephesians 4:16. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. Guys, we can't grow if you're not using your gifts, and I'm not using mine. And all these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body. Then we are built up and made perfect in love. Some of you know I have a yellow Camaro, same car I had when I was in high school, same year and everything, or same years, 75 Camaro. And it's funny the reactions I get from people. If it's old guys like me, like, oh, that's so cool. Let me smell the gas. I pulled up, I was leaving Omni one day, and these two old guys in a golf cart pulled in front of me. They're probably 70. And literally, they were like lusting over my car. That's the best way I can say that. Oh, and they pulled up right next to the window, like, it's beautiful, man. Rev it up. And I'm revved it up. And they're like, oh my gosh, I love the yellow with black. And he goes, burn the tires, man. So I did. It was ministry. And so it's funny, their reaction. But I get a kick out of the young kids' reactions, like 30 and under. Here's what they say. Bumblebee! Bumblebee! Because they watch Transformers. And so they think, you know, that's the Transformer. It's pretty funny. Everybody has a different perspective. You know what a Transformer is? It's a car that turns into a robot, or a robot turns into a car. God wants his people to turn into an active part of the body, not leave your butt print in the chair, but leave your footprint in the community. Look at Romans 12. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, we're headed to an unbelievable destination together. I want you to pray. And I want you to say this to God sometime between now and tomorrow. God, I don't know why you've given this to my pastor and the staff. I don't know why right now my life is so busy, but I'm going to give you these 50 days. I want to see what you want from me. Guys, anything worth having takes commitment. And if you want to be blessed by God and in turn honor him, because it's all about him, give us 50 days. Set everything aside. And let me just say this about your small groups, okay? It never fails when we do a campaign or a spiritual journey. We have a few stubborn small group leaders. Well, you know, that's great that they're doing that, but we're going to keep doing our study. If you have an obstinate small group leader, let me say this to that small group leader. Stop. Do the study in January. Be a part of this. You're coming together on the same page. That small group, it's actually our small group. We're the shepherds of that small group. Take a break. And if you're part of that small group and they just refuse to, find a new small group for 50 days. Because we have invested heavily into this. prayer, time, about $150,000 to create for you an atmosphere and an ability and a teaching that will transform your life. But you got to be all in. And you know what the outcome will be? Not just transformed believers, but a transformed church. And not just transformed church, but a transformed city. And not just transformed city, but nation and world. Yes, that is the big God we serve. I have seen him. He has never failed me for 36 years of ministry and 45, 46 years of my life. No matter what you're facing, understand this. God loves you more than anything. I realize some of you here, you don't even know Jesus as your Savior. Some of you are like, I came to church and I was just like wanting to stay awake. And what's all this get involved stuff? Let me just tell you something. God loves you more than anything in the world. And God created us. We are not an accident. We are a masterpiece. But when he created the first man and the first woman, he said, you have a choice. You can serve me or you can serve the flesh. You can eat that tree or you can enjoy the rest of my creation. And they chose what they wanted. And our sins are something we inherit from birth. We're born with them. You can't do anything about it. You are depraved just like me. And every person who's ever lived is depraved. And those sins can't be erased by going to church and giving your money, promising to be good, going to confession, giving your money to the poor. All that stuff may be wonderful. It won't save you. It won't get you one step closer to heaven. So, God loving you so much, knowing in eternity past, literally, that man would reject him, made a way. And paying the price for our sins, Jesus came into this world. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And he went to a cross 2,000 years ago, and he died in our place. And he said this, if you believe in me, I'll give to you everlasting life. You're thinking, well, what can a dead man do? He's not dead. 3 days later, he rose again. And he says, this life that's eternal means it can never be lost. It starts now. It lasts forever. He takes hold of you. You don't take hold of him. Religion lies and says, just got to keep doing more. And if I mess up, oh boy, I better get saved again. No, God says, I got you. And from the moment you believe, you're his forever. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. If you're here or you're watching, please don't turn this off. Keep it on for just a little bit longer. And you could not say before a few moments ago that you know for sure when you die, you go to heaven. You now know. I want to challenge you to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Right where you sit, wherever you're at, just say this in your mind. God, I admit it, I'm a sinner. And I admit that I fall short of your perfect standard. But I believe that you sent your son Jesus into this world. And I believe that he died on a cross and paid for all of my sins. And I believe he rose again. And I trust in him as my only hope of going to heaven. Thank you, God, for saving me. Friends, you have been born again. You have a clean slate, a fresh start. And I can't think of a better time for you to go on a journey with this ministry than the next 50 days to discover what this great God and King has in store for you. If today that made sense to you, in a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. Just tells me you got it. So if you're saying, I believe and I receive that free gift, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? God bless you. Many hands. God bless you. Thank you. Praise God. Christians, I pray for every one of these people that made that decision. I pray for those who invited them, who create the environment that's so loving and caring. I also pray that you'll go this week and you'll look for the lost sheep, the people that don't know Jesus, and bring them in. Have them watch. Be a part of this journey. If you put your trust in Christ, we don't want you to just be a new baby Christian and have no help. I mean, it'll be like going down to the nursery at a local hospital and leaving an infant in the hallway. Wouldn't do that. So just text the word believe to 720-895-9000. It's the church number. Just text the word believe. Follow the prompts. We'll get back in touch with you this week. We'll give you a Bible. And we just want to help you grow. Father, thank you for this amazing journey we're about to embark on. Father, thank you for being so faithful to this ministry, so faithful to each and every one of us, even when we fall miserably short at times. Lord God, I thank you for the many that came to know you in this service and in the last two services. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to allow us to see the greatest miracle this side of heaven. Father, I just pray now that you would get all the glory and the honor from this 50 days, that as we faithfully understand and serve you, that people would say, what a great God. What a great God, the only true God. And his son Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And in his name we pray. Amen.